Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. The day shuts down. The games light up. This is BetMGM Tonight with Brad Evans and Pat Boyle on Westwood One Sports.
Wednesday night edition of BetMGM Tonight here on Westwood One Sports. Hump day, hump day, hump day, hump day. Made it to the middle of the week. He's Brad Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. And we are brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. You can watch the show live on YouTube. Just search BetMGM Tonight and hit that subscribe button. You can watch the show live on Twitter at BetMGM Tonight. And you can listen to the program on the Westwood One Sports app, the Odyssey app, SiriusXM Channel 375, and hundreds of local affiliates throughout North America. We're with you every Monday through Friday, 6 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and our talk and text line is 310-840-4910. You can call, you can text your thoughts on the show, 310-840-4910. Well, if, Brad, we were wondering last night how Victor Wembanyama was going to respond to the game four ejection, I would say one of these dunks in the very first few minutes of the ball game here, causing the Wolves to take an early timeout. And the first 5 minutes of that game, I think, was every and any indication on how he was going to respond.
Pat, did you throw some cold water on Victor Wembanyama pregame? Could you jog my memory for me?
Yes. So that was, yeah, look, I can explain. I thought Wemby might have struggled yesterday. I thought he would be fired up, but I thought maybe would be a little bit nervous. But again, here's a dunk from Victor Wembanyama. Here's a dunk from Victor Wembanyama in the first couple of minutes that forced the Wolves to take a timeout, and you kind of had a feeling how the night was going to go.
Wembanyama from the outside. Ball in his hands are locked. To the basket. Timeout, Minnesota.
Yeah, there was Mike Tirico, NBC, the call there. Peacock as well. Victor Wembanyama with how about 18 points in the first quarter. 27 for the game to go with 17 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks. And the Spurs dominate the T-Wolves, 126-97. It's a 3-2 series lead. We'll talk about the series and your thoughts on it in just a second here, Brad, and my thoughts on it. But I know you're a believer, and I'm going to ask the entire audience here, the entire country and the world that's listening, are you ready to believe yet? If you haven't believed now that Wemby is about to take over the NBA, because, look, as somebody that has been a non-believer that he would do it in this playoffs and that he would be this dominant, I got to say, last night, man, was pretty damn impressive to watch. Those first couple of minutes, he had a jetpack on.
Yeah, he grabbed the plate, went to the buffet, and got a little bit of everything, didn't he? And that's what he does. He is a supreme stat sheet stuffer. Again, try to say that 10 times fast, especially after, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 beverages. Really impress your friends this weekend if you get it right. But yeah, Wembanyama just lived up and delivered on all the hype. I felt he was going to be a master of motivation coming off the throw and elbow, though he dodged suspension and it was completely warranted, as you and I discussed endlessly. And minimum, he should have gotten a fine of some sort. Did not get any of that. Nick Friedel, we had on the show yesterday, thoroughly agreed with that point of view. But Wemby, that's all water of the bridge, went out and just played his A game. As you mentioned, with the 27 points, the 17 rebounds, the 5 dimes, the 3 blocks. He was a tour de force on both ends of the floor. Help had he knocked down a couple of triples. And remember, there's a guy that earlier in the playoffs had an 0-for-8 performance from way downtown. So he just brings everything. And he is the face of the NBA. You know, LeBron, we're going to see what he's going to do. Could be on his way out. You and I both firmly and steadfastly believe he is going to come back and play at least another season, maybe in Cleveland, as you tossed out there. Nick Friedel believes among 60-40 and is going to wind back up in Los Angeles with the Lake Show. But, you know, some people might say, well, LeBron's going to take a you know, step aside. I got SGA, obviously, he can go out and possibly win another ring and raise his profile overall, and he's going to be in that conversation for one of the faces of the NBA. But Wembanyama is a freak, an absolute stud muffin extraordinaire. He does everything, and I think he will be the centerpiece of NBA marketing, of NBA viewership, of jersey sales, T-shirt sales, whatever he slaps his name on for the next decade to come. The Wembanyama era is alive, it's well, and it's here.
Yeah, okay. 310-840-4910. Do you think Wemby is about to take over the NBA? Do you believe he might be the face of the NBA already, whether unofficial or official? Look, I just want to urge caution here. I heard the same exact thing about Anthony Edwards 2 years ago when the Wolves made their first of two straight conference finals. Heard the same thing about Anthony Edwards last year. Oh, Anthony Edwards is going to take over and the T-Wolves are going to take down the Thunder. Oklahoma City's not ready to win a title yet. Okay. Not a whole lot of people saying Anthony Edwards is the face of the league right now. Nikola Jokic, whether he wants to or he doesn't want to be, right? He just wants to play with his horses. Guy's a 3-time MVP. He's got a title. He's not the face of the league. He's not the best player on the planet. And if it's not him, it's not SGA, a guy that in the next, 2 weeks is going to win his second straight MVP, is the reigning finals MVP, and has just been an absolute scoring machine over the last couple of years. But because what? There's enough loudmouthed idiot morons on social media that call him a free throw merchant. Maybe Brad pointing to himself being one of them. I don't know. I don't never heard you call SGA a free throw merchant, though. There's a lot of people that call him a free throw merchant. So that's, he can't be the face. He's not the face of the league. What has Victor Wembanyama accomplished yet is what I'm asking. And at the risk of sounding like a hater, I know it's his first time in the playoffs. I know it's only year 3 for him in the league. I realize he is dominating against a Minnesota Timberwolves team that is one of the best defensively in the NBA. And I know they underperformed in the regular season, but again, they're in the second round for the third straight year. They've made it to back-to-back conference finals. They've got an incredibly huge, long, athletically gifted team that has made other great players look like mere average mortals. And Victor Wembanyama is dominating. But, I mean, can we at least wait to see if he's even going to be able to take down the Oklahoma City Thunder before I hear everybody on TV and radio and some of my friends, Wemby's the best in the NBA right now. It's not even close, not even close. I mean, really? Because they beat the freaking Portland Trailblazers and because they're up 3-2, they haven't even won this series yet. We're all so quick to just anoint this guy. Why? Because he's 7'5"? Because he looks like an alien? Yeah, oh, wow, real sick. Yeah, if I was 7'5", I'd be in the Hall of Fame too, probably. I'm just so sick of the premature, anointing here. I'm sick of it, Brad. I can't take it. But that being said, again, last night, pretty damn good. And when you score 16 of your team's first 29 points, and you basically shake Rudy Gobert out of his shorts, and then you follow it up with a three-pointer. Here's the highlight. I mean, again, if you didn't know it in the first couple of minutes, after this play, it was looking like it was going to be a long night for Minnesota. Listen.
And the veteran eighth-year man, Reed, is in. Wemby, putting the moves on Gobert, has 11. Get out of my way. I'm going. Two come. So he pitches it. Castle right back to him. Feeling it. Wembanyama, an unbelievable start here tonight.
Yeah, and again, and we're doing our show last night, Brad. Game started at 8 p.m. Eastern, and I'm looking over, and I got the game on my other screen, and I'm saying, "What? Jeez. He was just unstoppable. He was absolutely unstoppable. The 18 points in the first quarter, the fifth most points in a playoff quarter by a Spurs player in the play-by-play era, so basically in the last 30 years. And not only that, he held Minnesota to 7 points on 3-for-11 on the attempts that he contested in the first two quarters. So I ain't anointing him yet, but I will admit that was a pretty damn dominant performance last night.
Yeah, look, correct. He's pulling up a chair and having a seat at the table. That is indeed correct. I'm not anointing him as the greatest player in the world just yet. I still believe in the known universe, in the Milky Way, it's Nikola Jokic until further notice. And you got to earn some accolades. You're right. He doesn't have a Larry O'Brien trophy to his name yet. He doesn't have an NBA Finals to his name yet. That could soon change if somehow, some way, the Spurs could, you know, take down OKC and make it, to the title matchup against your beloved New York Knicks more than likely. That would be a hell of a serious thing. Your Knicks honestly would be able to take it. But let's say San Antonio hypothetically did win the whole shebang this year. Then he is very much in the discussion. But until then, it's more of him just kind of on the outside looking in. He's got the seat. Again, he's pulling up to the table, but he is not at the head of the table just yet. That honor is still bestowed upon the greatness that is the Joker, Nikola Jokic.
Okay. So, yes. Yeah, so there is a difference between greatest player right now already and the guy that is maybe the face of the league or has taken over the NBA. And
yep.
I mean, I get it, right? You're 7'5" and you look like that and you can block every shot and you can shoot 3-pointers and you can dunk the ball effortlessly.
Like a guard. Yep.
But is that all we're looking for? Is that all we're looking for as NBA fans? We just want to see people that are really tall. Because I could show you, so what? Day Mara, is he going to be the face of the NBA next year? He's 7'3", 7'4". If he joins the NBA just because he's super tall, is that it? Because Wembanyama really doesn't, outside of the blocking of the shots, he's not an elite offensive player. He's the best defensive player in the NBA. Yes, and there is no debating that. He's unanimous. I'm not going to even try to debate it. I would sound like a hater. But like, there's probably a third of the league that's a better offensive player than him. So is it just because he's 7'5"? Is that why everybody's so enamored with him?
No, because he does a little bit of everything. And he was an elite offensive player last night. You got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, he was unstoppable, as you mentioned, in that first quarter. And scoring 16 points, having 27 for the entire game. Yes, he is an absolute long drink. He's an absolute freak. But, he's more than just a back down big like Shaq, which your classic post big historically. And he was dunking all over fools. And of course, he's one of the top 50 greatest players ever to play the game, different era. But you look at Wembanyama. He's a svelte guy. He's built like, the Grim Reaper kind of, so to speak, the Slim Reaper, if you will. And he goes out there and just can sing threes. He can beat you off the bounce. He's a guy that can back you down. He gets a tip-ins and tap-ins with that Gumby-like athleticism that he possesses. And then he turns around and can toss everything in the post. He'll step out and challenge shots along the perimeter. Pat, he's a complete player. Like, he doesn't have to be elite necessarily in just scoring overall. He could be elite across the board. And he satisfies exactly what we're all looking at and what you should be looking for. He's just 100% good in every facet of the game, and he's only going to get better.
Yeah, look, I think the most impressive part was just the fact that he, like, we all wondered, how is he going to react to getting ejected? And then he does that in the first quarter, and it's like, wow, this doesn't look like a guy that hasn't, it's his first time here. And so I'll give him that, and Mitch Johnson spoke about it after the game. On, controlling not only his own emotions, but on, Wembanyama controlling the emotions of the team. Take a listen to it.
I think that
maybe
our team has been in, even in these playoffs, a lot of different situations, and we play without Victor, and Victor's come back, while missing a game or part of a game. And I think our group is very secure with where we're at and who they are. And I think when you have that with the level of fearlessness, you know, you may be lacking in some things like experience or in reference points in terms of what you're walking through, but we're very comfortable with who we are and where we're at, and we're going to continue to just try to lean into our habits and our execution that we go over every day, and things about being connected and together.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure about secure with where we're at, because Wemby came out after that flurry in the first quarter, and it was a 15-point lead for the Spurs, and then immediately Minnesota cut it back to a one-possession game. Then Wemby comes back on the floor, and it immediately gets back to double digits. So it's like, he played 33 minutes, and, you know, again, the fourth quarter, it was largely determined at that point. So, you know, otherwise he probably would have played 40, but game six, Minnesota, I don't want this thing coming back to San Antonio if I'm the Spurs. I don't want to risk a game seven where anything can happen. And so if they're going to close out Minnesota in game six, I think Wemby's got to be on the floor for just about every freaking minute of this thing, which brings us to our next question here, Brad. Are the T-Wolves finished? Are they done here down 3-2? Because they've gotten blown out now a couple of times in this series. And I still give them a chance to win it at game six at home. And I still give them a chance to win the series. But, man, they got crushed in the paint last night, 68-36. That's an unbelievable disparity. And maybe the most concerning thing is the fact that they've been down by at least 15 points in the first quarter in two of the five games. And they've been down by at least 15 points in the first half in three of the five games this series. And they lost all three of those. So they had to get off to a fast start. And they have got to do a better job in the paint. Otherwise, they're going home. They'll stay home after losing game six on Friday night. But I think the 2 days off is going to be massive for them. And I think Minnesota is not done in this series just yet. But after watching that game last night, all the momentum is on San Antonio's side. So you still believing in Minnesota like me?
I do. Look, Reese's bias is a hell of a drug. And a lot of people are injecting it in their veins right now. San Antonio's going to walk. They're going to advance to the Western Conference Finals. A lot of people are saying it's a wrap. It's a done deal. It's far from it. And you and I have said this since the beginning of this series, that you and I felt it was going to go to seven games. And I still feel that game seven matchup in San Antonio was an absolute coin flip. I don't think you're going to see another blowout in this series, either side of the ledger. Not the 126-97 variety that we saw last night. I think both these games, if it is indeed two games, will be nip and tuck. The key for Minnesota, two pronged. One, they got to hit their threes. Last night, they were miserable from outside. 9-33, just a lousy 27%. I could shoot 27% from three. No, I really couldn't, but maybe I could. The other one is Anthony Edwards. The magic number for him, Pat, as you and I have discussed before, 30 points. What did he score last night? Well, he played 39 minutes, only had 20 points in that game. This thing got ugly in a hurry at the end of the third quarter. I mean, Minnesota was right there. They had it tied late in the third quarter. I remember because I was watching the game, watching most of the second half. I had to go in. I got 19 and 17-year-old boys in my house, and they constantly eat. And they're like, hey, Dad, can you help me out with some food? Sure, you could cook for yourself, but no, I'll cook for you guys. So I go in there, make some food. It was tied up. I had the game on in the other room. So I whipped them up, a couple of burritos. I walked back in. All of a sudden, it was 15. Just like that. Drop of a hat. That's how quickly that game turned. I don't think you're going to see that wide of a disparity at any juncture in the next game in Minnesota. Minnesota's going to win. Minnesota's going to win in a close game. It's going to go to seven games. And as I said before, it will be a coin flip in game seven. So far, far from over, mi amigo.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards was displaying that same kind of confidence last night. He said, quote, I don't see nobody in our locker room that's too worried. There's another basketball game. Come out, put your boots on, and get ready to go to war. Julius Randle has been a dud offensively in this series. That's probably the number one thing that has to change for Minnesota. He's averaging 15 points per game and 1.5 assists on 37% from the field and 21% from deep. I mean, he's just getting, and I've seen this before from Julius Randle as a Knicks fan. I've seen him get to the rim. He's so damn strong, and then he just blows layups. Like, three-foot contested shots where he's strong enough to finish through that. You want him to draw the contact. You want to get to the free throw line. Misses it. Rims out. Hits the back iron. Pops out. Like, He just can't get anything going, and he's not naturally a good three-point shooter, and he's not getting those to fall, so he's been rendered nearly obsolete offensively. He's done a nice job defensively, trying to guard Wemby. They're using Julius Randle as like a human battering ram when they have other guards, Anthony Edwards or Dosunmu, drive to the paint. Julius Randle runs in there first and basically just like clotheslines Wemby or tries to grab him so that they can get some better looks at the rim. But the other thing that's got to be a big talking point for Minnesota is how they're going to combat the double teams that the Spurs sent to Ant-Man last game. They put 20 double teams on him in game 5. Against them, the T-Wolves went 6 for 15, 5 turnovers, and they scored 13 points on those 20 possessions. I can guarantee you you're going to see a ton of double teams on Anthony Edwards again in game 6. So Minnesota better be ready for him, because he only ended up taking 13 shots last night. Only took 13 shots, and it wasn't for a lack of trying. San Antonio just, they doubled them. They forced somebody else to beat them, and nobody else could beat them last night consistently. Minnesota's got to figure out a game plan for that, where they need their guys to hit some damn shots, because, you know, when you shoot 9 for 33 from deep, you ain't going to win many ball games. And so combating the Spurs double teams on Anthony Edwards, and if Julius Randle can step up, that's the only way we do see a game 7.
Yeah, and just put the cherry on top of the sundae, this conversation, Pat. The bench has also got to step up for Minnesota. Naz Reid, former Sixth Man of the Year, a guy played decent game, not an outstanding one last night, had a dozen points in 31 minutes. Mike Connolly, an afterthought, only had 5 points. Terrence Shannon, my guy from the ILL, took some lousy shots and was really outclassed. Some mind-numbing decisions that he made. Only had 2 points in 17 minutes. They have got to get better production out of the rotational contributors if they want to extend this series to a game 7.
310-840-4910 is the number to join. Do you think the T-Wolves have a shot to win this series, or is it done and dusted and basically count your tickets and get ready for Spurs and Thunder in the Western Conference Finals? And that's going to break viewership records if we do indeed get there. But I think Minnesota can still win it. Brad thinks they can still win it. And do you think that Victor Wembanyama is already the best player in the NBA, or that he's the face of the NBA? You're listening to BetMGM Tonight with Pat Boyle and Brad Evans. We're sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. All right, when we come back, we'll get you set for Cavs Pistons Game 5 tonight. Does the home team win yet again? Is it as simple as that? We'll talk about it when we return. He's Brad Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. This is BetMGM Tonight at Westwood One Sports.
Tomorrow night, it's a Westwood One special presentation. NFL Schedule Release 26, hosted by Scott Graham and Mike Golic. What's your team's toughest stretch, and where are the wins? We'll tell you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern on Westwood One Sports.
Clones, listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. In fact, there are major differences in quality from one brand to the next. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings. Every bite is better for you and higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, and candy. Old Trapper, in the Clearview bag, is the world's finest jerky, made with only the best ingredients. So ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Doug.
There's nowhere I wouldn't go to help someone customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual, even if it means sitting front row at a comedy show.
Hey, everyone, check out this guy and his bird. What is this, your first date?
Oh, no. We help people customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual together. We're married. Me to a human, him to a bird.
Yeah, the bird looks out of your league anyways.
Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local agent.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
As a fitness coach, my active psoriatic arthritis can slow me down. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, I'm treating my skin and joint symptoms so I can keep moving. Skyrizi, a prescription-only injection for adults, helps me move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. And for those who have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible. With Skyrizi, there's no daily dosing. It's just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement. And that means everything. Because nothing is everything. Ask your doctor about SKYRIZI. Visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.